We welcome you to Pune Yatra. With the exception of 1 year that we missed, we have come to this house for this transcendental yatra for the past 21 years. So we are now about to inaugurate the 20th Pune Yatra. We began in that small living room. All the devotees fit very comfortably. For the first 2 or 3 years, we had Mahakirtans, lectures, bhajans. We began to expand in size and started having it in the patio. We thought it was really becoming very crowded. And this year, we're expecting approximately 3,000 devotees. Like all of our yatras, we come together for the exclusive purpose of helping one another to absorb our consciousness in Krishna. The perfection of human life is to be absorbed in remembering Krishna. Krishna is so kind. He appears in so many ways just to help us to be immersed in his loving service. The basic foundation of our spiritual lives is hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord in the association of devotees. Without a strong foundation in this way, all of our other activities will be vulnerable to the destructive influence of Maya. Harinama, Harinam, Harinam eva kevalam, kalo nasteva, 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 gatir anyatha. Lord Chaitanya and all of our acharyas have given great prominence to this verse from the Brihad Naradiya Purana. In this age of Kali, Lord Hari has descended in his name. Most merciful, most accessible. Kalikale Namarupe Krishna Avatar. And the most power manifests through the name of the Lord. In fact, in this age of Kali, to achieve the ultimate perfection of love of God, there is no other way except the chanting of God's names. There are 9 processes of devotional service, which Prahlad Maharaj has expounded in Srimad Bhagavatam. When Lord Chaitanya was asked by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, of the 9 processes, which is most potent and important? Lord Chaitanya replied, Kirtanam, the chanting of the holy names. When our beloved Guru Maharaj, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, instructed us to chant at least 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna mantra every day in order to qualify ourselves for initiation. He was not taxing us with a burden in our lives. Rather, he was giving importance where importance is due in our lives. Whatever else we do in our daily activities, it will have such greater and deeper spiritual substance, such a greater capacity to please Krishna, if we're chanting the holy names and absorbing ourselves in that process. We make progress according to the priorities that we put into our lives. The scriptures, the saints, and Srila Prabhupada have given the ultimate priority in chanting God's names. In fact, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was leaving Navadvip, just about to take sannyas, he gave his final instructions to his devotees. They did not know they were his final instructions. Only a few of them understood that he would leave that very night for Katva. His instruction was, always absorb yourself in chanting Krishna's names. There is no greater means of achieving Krishna than chanting his names. Never neglect to chant Krishna's names. Whether you're eating or sleeping or working or playing or any other activity you're doing, along with it, chant the name of Krishna. And of all the names of Krishna, I'm giving you this Maha Mantra, Lord Chaitanya said. It is the greatest of all mantras. It is the essence of all mantras. All other mantras and all other scriptures are included within this Maha Mantra. So constantly chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. In kirtan, in bhajan, in japa, let us absorb ourselves in chanting Hare Krishna. And to hear about Krishna, to absorb our consciousness in hearing about Krishna's qualities, Krishna's form, Krishna's teachings, Krishna's wonderful pastimes, and the mercy that Krishna bestows upon his devotees. This is our foundation. But Lord Chaitanya also teaches us how to chant in here. Shushusho shudadanasya vasudeva kataruchi syan mahat sevaya viprapunya tiratana sevanat. To actually develop a taste for hearing and chanting, we must serve great souls. Unless we have a humble service attitude, a sincere enthusiasm to serve, even hearing and chanting will not really fructify in the desired goal. So here, during our yatra in Pune, we come together to leave behind our social, occupational, and domestic distractions for 3.5 days, so that we are with devotees. In fact, it's difficult to escape devotees. Some of you may be in overcrowded facilities, waiting to use bathrooms, standing in lines, waiting for prasad. What a glorious benediction this is. To have the association of devotees is such a rare opulence, such a blessing of God. Some people I know are in distant places, longing and crying for the association of even one devotee. And here, we are in such opulence, such immense, lavish wealth, that there are so many devotees. We're being pushed by them and stepped on by them, and we have to wait for them. It is wonderful. If you see it from that perspective, you'll be in bliss. If you see it from a material perspective, why is he taking so long? Why is she taking so long? Why so many people? There's hardly any air to breathe. If you see it from that perspective, you miss the blessing. But here we all under one tent, breathing the same air. And when kirtan starts, then we'll understand how many devotees are actually here. But it is a blessing. In the association of so many wonderful devotees, we have come to really, really intensely purify our consciousness through hearing and chanting. And with the divine energy that we absorb, we become recharged spiritually, and it helps us to remain very, very properly Krishna conscious for the rest of the year. Regularly hearing about Krishna, constantly chanting his names in the association of devotees is the secret of perfection in life. And we have come here to give emphasis on these principles. A Vaishnav wants to serve. A Vaishnav is not concerned with being served. There is a special personality that so magnificently exemplified this quality, an eagerness to serve and a hatred to be served. Today we are celebrating his appearance, Sri Advaita Acharya. I'd like to speak for a few minutes about Sri Advaita Prabhu and highlight just a few special lessons we could learn from his illustrious life. But first of all, I'd like to say something about this day, which is so divinely blessed. Exactly 1 year ago, our very beloved devotee, Stoka Krishna Prabhu, passed from this world. And his mother, father, brother, sister, and other relatives are here today. We are very honored and grateful that they have come. Stoka Krishna Prabhu was a simple boy. He came to Krishna consciousness right from his college. He heard a lecture and came to the temple and never turned back. Very humble and very, very eager to serve. Content with the simplest, most menial services. Got wonderfully trained in Brahmachari Ashram. And at a certain point, he graduated from the Brahmachari Ashram and accepted Grihastha Ashram. 34 years old, contracted such a ferocious form of cancer that on his diagnosis, the doctors felt he could pass away from this world within a month. Maharaj Parikshit only had 7 days. Stoka Krishna Prabhu really did follow in the footsteps of Maharaj Parikshit. He was grateful for all the blessings Krishna gave him. Through the ravaging cancer, racked with pain, nobody ever heard him complain. Always smiling, thanking Krishna and the Vaishnavas for all the chances he was allowed to serve, to hear about the Lord and to chant his names. That was his quality. He felt he did not deserve the blessings he received, but he deserved whatever pains came. And therefore, he was simply grateful. He manifested such exalted qualities. His wife would be a young widow. A daughter was born while he was on his deathbed. But he had faith. If I surrender to Krishna, Krishna will take care of everything and everyone. It was on this day of the appearance of Sri Advaita Prabhu that Stoka Krishna Prabhu, surrounded by many, many devotees, loudly chanting the holy names with the Mahaprasad of many of the holiest places of Vrindavan covering his body. Krishna took his soul to their lotus feet. Within not even a day, Janani Vas Prabhu and Pankajangari Prabhu came to our temple. Janani Vas Prabhu cited a Gaudiya Vaishnav understanding that the day of Advaitacharya's appearance is so auspicious that anyone who dies on this day, Lord Nityananda Prabhu and Sri Advaita Prabhu will stand on the right and left hand side of that person and loudly chant in that person's ears the holy names of Gauranga. With his passing, many hundreds, even thousands of people all over the world began to understand the wonderful qualities of this devotee and the great lesson that he taught us. 2 days on the first anniversary of Stoka Krishna Prabhu's disappearance, another one of our devotees disappeared from this world. A very beloved member of Radha Gopinath Temple, Radha Shakti Devi Mataji, the mother of Shyam Charan Prabhu. Her son, Shyam Charan Prabhu, was working as a faculty member of IIT. His very serious service attitude was such a blessing to all the students and devotees there,
totally dedicated.
He was, year after year after year, one of the intimate servitors who made our IIT preaching powerful. First Devamrit Prabhu was there, then Radhe Shyam Prabhu was there, and for many years Gauranga Prabhu. He was always there assisting. And through association of his devotees, his mother became fixed in devotional service. She loved to hear the glories of the Lord, absorbed herself in chanting the holy names of the Lord, and loved to cook for the Vaishnavas. Whenever I would go there, she would personally cook dosas and other nice South Indian prasad. Very excellent, with tremendous devotion. She would cry just to have the opportunity to serve devotees. And throughout her whole life, she was a devotee of Tulsi Devi. Every day she performed seva for Tulsi, year after year after year in her own home. She contracted cancer. And just a little over a week ago, I personally went there just to offer my sincerest gratitude and love to her for who she is and the amazing example she set. And it was like meeting such a saintly person, such natural flow of spontaneous devotion she had. It's folding her hands, only begging for one thing, for love for Radha and Krishna. She wanted nothing else. She was praying, let Krishna take me now. Let Krishna take me now. Let Radharani take me now. I have nothing but them. I only want their love. I only want their mercy. I only want their blessings and that of the Vaishnavas. Anybody who was around her those last weeks knows that was her only desire in life. Nadanam na janam na sundarim kavitam vajagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmanishwari bhavatad bhakti rohaita kitvai. Lord Chaitanya taught us, it's wonderful to see someone. All they want, there's nothing left except the blessings of Krishna and the devotees and the love of Radharani and Krishna. An eternal service to Tulsi Devi. That's all she wanted. It was interesting because the day I was going to see her that morning, a devotee came from Vrindavan and brought me beautiful garlands and tulsi leaves and chandan from the lotus feet of Radha Shyam Sundar and Radha Raman, water from Jamuna and Radha Kund, and also a beautiful necklace that was the Mahaprasad of Srimati Radharani. Which is interesting because the day Astoka Krishna Prabhu left also, S.A.N. Soul came from Vrindavan with all remnants of the holy places, the holy waters, the holy deities, and the Brijavasis, Madan Mohan Brijavasi, Goswamiji, Ramesh Chandra Goswami from Nandagaon. So when I went to her, we sprinkled the tulsi and the chandan on her head and in her mouth with Ganges water and Jamuna water and Radha Kund water. And then we put around her neck this wonderful
necklace of Srimati Radharani. Very special Mahaprasad. And she was so grateful to receive it. And she wore it for the rest of her days. Today I found out that the last time she was in Vrindavan, she's not a rich lady, but she took most of her jewelry and she offered it to Radharani in Krishna Balaram temple. She offered her jewelry to Radharani in Krishna Balaram temple. And Radharani sent her jewelry, Mahaprasad, back to her to be wearing for her last days in this world. And to make the story even more extraordinary, Jananivas Prabhu and Pankajangari Prabhu are coming tomorrow. Just like with Stoka Krishna Prabhu. The two of them just came the next day, right after. So today at about 9:30 in the morning, with her son, relatives, and devotees, performing Nam Sankirtan, chanting the holy names around her, her soul was taken to the lotus feet of Sri Radha Gopinath. Sri Advaitacharya, his special feature in Lord Chaitanya's Leela, is he called the Lord to come to the world, and then he sent the Lord out of this world. Most special day. Let us all offer our sincere gratitude to Srimati Radha Shakti Devi and pray to Sri Gornitai, Sri Advaitacharya Prabhu, Sri Radha Gopinath and all of our acharyas to bestow their intimate blessings upon her. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami tells us that before Lord Chaitanya came to this world, he set the stage for his pastimes by sending many of his eternal associates and his own expansions. He sent Nanda and Yashoda, who appeared as Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi. He sent Vrishabhanu Maharaj, who appeared as Pundarik Vidyanidhi. He sent Lord Brahma in the form of Srila Haridas Thakur. He sent Narad Muni and Parvat Muni as Srivas Pandit and Ramai Pandit. Before that even, he sent the most divine Kalpavriksha of Goloka in the form of Madhavendra Puri. And he sent Advaita Prabhu. Advaitacharya is simultaneously the incarnation of Sadashiva, the original Shiva in the spiritual world, and Karunodakshayi, or Mahavishnu, the first Purusha avatar. the father of all living beings and the cause of all causes. He appeared in Navagram near Srihatta in Bengal as the son of Kuvera Pandit and Nabadevi. When he was young, his parents shifted to Shantipur. And he was only a teenager when both of his parents departed from this world. He was so beautiful in appearance, so deeply learned in the scriptures, and had such immense devotion to Krishna. But his most extraordinary quality was his compassion for all living beings. Even amongst the greatest Brahmins and the greatest devotees, he was considered to be the leader of all the Brahmins and the leader of all the Vaishnavas. While living in Shantipur, Srila Haridas Thakur came from, he was born near Benapole, and then for some time he was in Chandagram, in Adisaptagram, Chandpur, and he came to Shantipur. Actually, wherever Haridas Thakur was, he was being persecuted by everybody. In Benapole, it was Ramchandra Khan, who was a powerful Hindu, tried to destroy him. After delivering the prostitute, he left and went to Chandpur. And there he was asked to give a lecture by Balaramacharya, Yadunandanacharya, and a Brahmin, a very learned, qualified by the 25 qualities of a Brahmin, blasphemed him. What right do you have to speak? He was explaining the glories of the holy name by telling that liberation is only an insignificant byproduct of chanting of the holy names. The real purpose of chanting is to love Krishna. There's no other purpose. A Vaishnava does not chant the holy names for wealth, for power, for skill, for health. A devotee chants the holy names not for liberation, focuses only on one thing, love of God. Now this Brahmin, who was an impersonalist, could not tolerate. Who is this malecha, low-class malecha, telling me what's in the scriptures? He cursed Haridas. If what you're saying is true, I'm sorry, if what you're saying is not true, to let your nose and fingers fall off. Hare Krishna. Anyways, his nose and fingers fell off. And Haridas Thakur, what could he do? Although everybody else around was trying to shut this man up, Haridas Thakur says, no, no, let him be. They were utterly humiliated that he was blaspheming him terribly in a public assembly. Haridas Thakur, just be calm, no problem. And he left that place. He was driven out wherever he was until he came to Shantipur. And there he met Advaitacharya. Advaita Prabhu was so happy to see such a pure Vaishnava.
He embraced him as a dearmost best friend. Even though other Brahmins in Shantipur saw Haridas as nothing but a low-class untouchable, Madhvaitacharya Prabhu fed him wonderful prasad, arranged a residence in a cave near the banks of the Ganges in Fuliagram, and would spend most of his days just hearing and chanting with Haridas Thakur. And when it came for the Shraddha Patra of Advaita Prabhu, the biggest, most learned, and most prestigious Brahmins in the whole area came because he was their leader. And in front of everyone, not secretly, publicly, he gave the first honors to Haridas Thakur, meaning he is the greatest, most powerful, most exalted of all human beings here. We're listening, but to be in that assembly, that was a powerful, bold statement. We cannot even imagine. At that time, with that climate, Advaitacharya, when he was younger, he traveled and toured. And somewhere around Udupi, he first met Madhavendra Puri. They became very intimate associates. Then Advaita Prabhu came to Vrindavan. He was leaving just below the hill called Dashashvamedha Ghat, or Dvadasaditya Thil, where Krishna stood after liberating Kaliya. And he resided under a simple banyan tree. And it is said that Krishna appeared to him in a dream and told him he was underground, actually under the Yamuna, in the form of the Madan Mohan deity. So Advaitacharya dug and found him there and brought him under that banyan tree where he worshipped him. Madhavendra Puri came to Vrindavan. And again, he had satsang with his guru. Madhavendra Puri told him to return to Shantipur because there was a mission that was about to unfold. He entrusted the deity with a Brahmin in Mathura who would later present that deity to Sanatana Goswami. In Shantipur, we read in Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat that Madhavendra Puri came and gave formal initiation to Advaita Prabhu. In every way, he was most exalted. And he made his most intimate, best friend, Haridas Thakur. Just to show the world that we do not judge a person by their external position. We judge a person by their devotion to God. Haridas Thakur was intoxicated chanting the holy names of the Lord constantly. Advaitacharya wanted to be with him. And even during that time, the Qazi hated Haridas, arrested him, brought him to the king, the governor,
He was sentenced to die. He was beaten in 22 marketplaces. At other times, Brahmins would challenge Haridas. Why are you chanting loudly? It's an offense to God. Haridas Thakur quoted from so many scriptures to show how the loud chanting of the holy names is the most powerful way of purification. But because it came from his mouth, they said, this is the age of Kali. The scriptures, what they prophesize is true, that low-class untouchables are going to contaminate the world by speaking from the scriptures. This is how Haridas was treated, even in Fuligram. Beaten, sentenced to death, blasphemed, misunderstood. But Advaitacharya understood him for what he was. Haridas Thakur represented in its perfection Trinadapi Suniche Nataro Ibasihishmana Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. Because he was humble like a blade of grass, tolerant like a tree, and ready to offer all respect to others, he was empowered to chant the holy names of the Lord constantly. Sri Advaita Prabhu had everything. He had love of God. He had a wonderful wife, Sita Thakurani, who was an expansion of Yoga Maya. He lived in a nice home. He had beautiful deities in his home of Madan Gopal. He had everything. But his heart suffered to see the common people without Krishna. Now, to common people in this world, having a nice position, having good learning, having some wealth, having health, these are considered great blessings. But for a saintly person, the only thing that is really worth anything is love of God. Advaita was living in Shantipur and sometimes in Navadvip. At that time, these places were very wealthy. It was a high seat of learning for all of India. There was great wealth, great opulence. There was very little poverty, practically none. There was such scholarship. People from all directions were coming to Navadvip to get what Navadvip had. It wasn't that Advaita was just seeing poverty-stricken people and trying to feed them some prasad and giving them some medical camps. That wasn't required. Everyone was eating profusely. All their material needs were affluent. But he saw that they were in utter destitution because they did not have love for Krishna. Human life without love for Krishna is poverty. It's waste. That was his conviction. That was his realization. And who is he? The Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is his standard of success. He felt such deep torment to see people throughout the world without Krishna consciousness. And he felt himself unable to give them that. So he decided that only Krishna himself can give the highest blessing of love of God according to the residents of Vrindavan. He made it his life's mission to bring Krishna down from Goloka Vrindavan to spread the Harinam Sankirtan movement and give the whole world the chance for Krishna Prem. What compassion he exhibited. Practically all day, every day, he worshipped his Shalagram Shila on the bank of the Ganges and loudly cried out the name of Krishna, begging him to descend into this world. He read a passage in the Shastra which explained that if you offer the Lord water from the Ganges and tulsi leaves, the Lord will fulfill your prayers. Day and night he was offering the Lord tulsi leaves and Ganga Jal. Profuse tears pouring from his eyes, loudly crying out, Krishna, please come. It's Kali Yuga. These people are so forgetful of you, so fallen. Please come. Only you can save them. That was his life. Now today, for all of us, if we want to understand the reality properly, we should feel that he was performing these austerities. He was fasting, taking severe vows for years at a time for you and me. Because Advaita Prabhu is the all-pervading Lord. He's not just crying out for a mass of people that he doesn't personally concern himself with. He's the Lord in everyone's heart. Very personalized. Not only at that present time, but for the future as well, in the age of Kali. He was personally feeling the pangs of the sufferings of your soul and my soul. And he was weeping to see us, each of us, individually. He was seeing into your heart today, knowing past, present, and future. Seeing into your heart today. What was your condition? How bereft you were. And he was crying to Lord Chaitanya to come down to this world to save you and me. And it was by the love and compassion of his prayers that we have been delivered. On this day, we should express our deepest gratitude to Sri Advaita Acharya. He was the seed that actually gave us all the chance to love Krishna. Yes, years passed, fasting, sacrifices, prayers, and millions of tears. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains the three external reasons for Lord Chaitanya's appearance. Number one, to respond to the call of Advaita Acharya. To establish the Yuga Dharma of the Nam Sankirtan movement and to fulfill his prophecy in Bhagavad Gita that in each age he will come to deliver the pious, annihilate the miscreants, and reestablish the principles of religion. It's very interesting because our beloved Srila Prabhupada, he tells us that when he was young, he was in a drama. And they practiced for this drama for about 1 year, just for one performance. It was a very serious drama. And he was given the role of Advaita Prabhu. He was just a boy at the time, a small boy. He was given the role of Advaita Prabhu to be crying to Lord Chaitanya to deliver all the fallen souls of the age of Kali. I don't know what they call it in Bollywood, but it was a very, very perfect casting for that role. Because Srila Prabhupada's whole life would be to fulfill that same mission of Sri Advaita Prabhu. On the full moon of the month of Phalgun, during a lunar eclipse, everyone was chanting the holy names of Hari to counteract the inauspiciousness. And in Shantipur, Sri Advaita Prabhu and Haridas Thakur, seeing everyone chanting, they were ecstatic. Let this eclipse last forever. That was their thoughts. And it was at that moment that the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared from the womb of Sachi Devi, just like the moon emerges from the ocean. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, Haridas Thakur and Advaita Prabhu felt such exhilaration in their hearts, even though they were many miles away. Just from the ecstasy that was in their hearts, they could tell that the Lord had appeared. And they went mad in ecstasy, dancing, and nobody could understand why. Sri Advaita Prabhu sent his consort, Sita Thakurani, to bring auspicious gifts for the newborn child of Sachi Devi. And when she saw him, she understood that the same Gopal who performed his pastimes in Gokul has appeared in this beautiful golden form. We know how, in his early years, Nimai disguised his identity and even hid his mission. He was a very restless, mischievous child, a very bright but apparently arrogant student. And Advaita Prabhu and the other Vaishnavas, they were praying to Krishna because the Lord covered over his real identity so that even Advaitacharya, Haridas Thakur, and the others, they were not allowed to be aware that he was actually the Lord that they prayed for. It was the Yogamaya potency. They had such attraction for him because they felt the same experience of being with Krishna in his presence. But at the same time, they felt impossible to be with him because he was always speaking about mundane subject matters like grammar, and Sanskrit intricacies. And he was always challenging them to arguments. They would pray to Krishna, sometimes day and night, please make Nimai a devotee. If he becomes a devotee, he can make the whole world Krishna conscious. They were praying to Krishna, and Nimai was receiving those prayers. He was so happy with the love of his devotees. Srivas Thakur, Advaitacharya, Haridas Thakur, all these people, they were just having Nam Sankirtan practically day and night, praying to Krishna to make Nimai a devotee. They loved him so dearly. And when Nimai returned from Gaya after receiving initiation from Ishwarapuri, he was a devotee like this world has never seen. The absorption that he had in Krishna, the ecstasies that were exhibited on his body were unparalleled. One day, Gadadhar and Nimai went to Advaita's house, and Advaita was worshipping the Lord with Ganges water and tulsi leaves, raising his arms, loudly chanting the holy names. When Nimai saw Advaita in such a state of ecstatic love, he was so moved he fell unconscious. While he was laying there unconscious, Advaitacharya, he looked at Nimai. At that time, Nimai was about 18. Advaitacharya was about 70. He was 52 years older. And he brought all the paraphernalia of worship and began to offer it to Nimai, who was laying unconscious. He started putting sandalwood and tulsi on his lotus feet, offering beautiful prayers. Namo Brahmanya Devaya, Go Brahmana Hitaya, Cha Jagat Hitaya, Krishnaya, Govindaya, Namo Namaha. Taking dust from his feet, offering him flowers and frankincense and five-pronged ghee lamps. And Gadadhar, who was Nimai's friend, he didn't know what was happening. He said, Advaita Prabhu, he's just a child. Why are you worshipping him? And Advaitacharya said, when will you give up the misconception that he is only a child? And then at that moment, Gadadhar Pandit understood he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That was the power of Advaitacharya's conviction. But after that, Advaitacharya decided, I want to test my Lord. So he left Navadvip and went to his house in Shantipur. Meanwhile, Vishwambar, or Nimai, he began having kirtan day and night with the Vaishnavas. In fact, that's practically all they did, is just do Nam Sankirtan. Such a higher taste they had. Practically all day and all night, they were just chanting the holy names together, loudly. And it wasn't that everybody liked it. Many of the materialistic people hated them for it. But they didn't care. They just went on chanting the holy names. Nityananda Prabhu came and joined the party. And one day, Lord Chaitanya said to Ramai Pandit, go to Shantipur, to the house of Advaita, and give him this message. Tell him that that person who he prayed for, fasted for, endured great sacrifices for, cried millions of tears for, that person has come to deliver the fallen souls of this age through promoting the congregational chanting of the holy names. My pundit asked, how will I know where his house is? He said, you just go, you will find it. So he walked from Srinavadweep to Shantipur. And by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, he went directly to Sri Advaitacharya's home. Advaitacharya was immersed in worshipping the Lord when he saw Ramai Pandit. And he said, oh, Ramai, you have come with a message for me? What is your message? Ramai Pandit said, I think you already know my message. He said, you have come to take me to meet that person in Navadweep? He said, yes, come, let's go right now. Advaita said, where in the scriptures does it say that the Supreme Personality of Godhead will take his birth in Navadweep to deliver all the fallen souls through the congregational chanting of the holy names? You are the brother of Srivas Thakur. He knows, and you should know, that I am a man who accepts things that are based on the Shastra. Where does it say? Ramai Pandit remained silent. He said, you already know. Advaitacharya said, what is the message he has given me? Ramai Pandit said, he has given you this message. That person that you prayed for, cried for, took vows of austerities for, and fasted for so many years for, that person has descended. He's here, and he's waiting for you. And he wants you and your whole family to bring all the paraphernalia of worship so that you can show your love for him. When Advaitacharya heard that, he danced in ecstasy. Sita Thakurani and Achyutananda, who was a boy, they wept in ecstasy. Immediately, the whole family began to gather all the paraphernalia to worship the Lord and brought it to Navadweep. But when they arrived, Advaitacharya said, I must test to see if my Lord really understands my love for him. He said, I am going to hide in the house of Nandanacharya. Do not tell anyone where I am. I will only come before the Lord if the Lord calls for me. So he went to Nandanacharya's house with his family. And Ramai Pandit came to Srivas Angam, where Lord Chaitanya was sitting with his devotees. As soon as Ramai Pandit came in the room, Lord Chaitanya said, Ramai, I know that Advaita Prabhu, that person who called for me and woke me up when I was sleeping in the ocean of milk and brought me to this world, he is now hiding in the house of Nandanacharya. Tell him I'm waiting for him. When Advaita Prabhu came, he fell and prostrated obeisances at the feet of Lord Chaitanya. And he and his whole family worshipped the Lord with very great love and devotion. And from that day, all the Panchatattva was together. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta. Although Advaita Prabhu was the one who brought Lord Chaitanya to this world, he was the the last one to actually join the Panchatattva in Nam Sankirtan. And together, sometimes in the house of Chandrasekharacharya, sometimes in the house of Srivas, sometimes in the house of Lord Chaitanya himself, kirtan was always being chanted. For a full year, they had their Nam Sankirtan all night and all day as well. But do not think that even the Lord can escape criticism. Because though the devotees were saturated in bliss in these kirtans, the materialistic people could not tolerate it. To them, it was just loud noise. And many of them were actually great scholars. Some of them were very wealthy people. Many were very, very prestigious Brahmins. But they were envious. The more Lord Chaitanya and his devotees gained popularity, the more they steamed with envy and became more and more vicious. They were spreading propaganda that in the house of Srivas there was horrible illicit activities going on. That they were taking drugs. They were drinking wine. They were seducing young virgin girls and bringing them in to have sex with them. This is what many powerful Brahmins were spreading around. Was there any trace or grain of truth to it? But they wanted to destroy the reputation of Lord Chaitanya and his associates. They were threatening, violent threats to the devotees. In fact, when Advaitacharya was asked for a blessing by Lord Chaitanya, he said, the chandalas, the common women, the common simple people, everyone, even the ignorant, give them all Krishna prema. But these proud people, attached to their high education, their wealth, and their prestige, who blaspheme your devotees due to envy, let them go to hell. That was the benediction that Advaita Prabhu asked for. Of course, even that's mercy. So, one day, Nimai was going to Srivas's house, and some of these very envious Brahmins approached him and said, "Ah, Nimai, do you know that so many people are envious of you? So many people hate you because of your loud chanting? You're creating so much disturbance, you're not even allowing people to sleep properly? Where in the scriptures does it say to do all these things? To dance around like madmen? In fact, they have already gone to the king to complain about you. And he's sending his soldiers to arrest you. The king wants to talk to you." Nimai said, "Oh, that's very good." He said, "I have been studying so many scriptures for so many years and nobody wants to talk to me. Now the king wants to talk to me. I'm taking this as a great opportunity." He said, "He's a Muslim king. He hates you. He's coming to hear you chant the holy names. That's what he's coming for." He said it with such hatred and sarcasm. The Lord Chaitanya just walked away. And he went into Srivas's house. He said to the devotees, I have just been associating with materialistic, envious atheists. Chant the holy name. Let us have kirtan. I need to be purified. So the kirtan began. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he started dancing. But then he stopped the kirtan. He said, due to my association with these people, I am not feeling the ecstasy of love of God in this kirtan today. I'm not feeling the ecstasy of love of God. You see, for Lord Chaitanya, he was teaching us that performing kirtan is not just a ritualistic activity. It's not something that we show off to others. It's not something we do simply because we're supposed to. It's the feeling, the experience of total absorption that really makes the kirtan great. He felt depressed because he was not absorbed in ecstatic love while chanting the holy names. Said, I do not feel anything. And Advaitacharya, he took advantage of this situation. I'm going to go back a few days and then continue this story. Lord Chaitanya always treated Advaita as a guru. Offered him respects and was eager to serve him. But Advaitacharya couldn't tolerate this. His position was to be the servant of the servant of the servant. He did not want to be honored by the Lord. He did not want to be served by the Lord. He wanted to be the menial servant of the Lord. But Lord Chaitanya, he would forcibly take dust from Advaita's feet. And Advaitacharya could not stop him because the Lord was so powerful. It's very difficult. One time, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the kirtan was so ecstatic that he went into a swoon and fell unconscious. And at that time, Sri Advaita Prabhu took the opportunity to bathe his feet with his tears and take the dust from his feet and smear it on every part of his body. When Lord Chaitanya came up from his ecstasy, he began dancing again. He said, I am not feeling ecstasy. Did anyone in this room touch my feet? The devotees were afraid to tell on Advaitacharya because he was their leader. And they were afraid to lie to Lord Chaitanya. So they didn't know what to do. But Advaitacharya came forward and he said, when a thief wants to steal someone, if that person is awake and vigilant, the thief waits for his victim to be asleep. Then he will plunder him. He said, you give everybody love of God by giving them a chance to serve you, except Srivas and myself. Even the gardeners, even the street sweepers, even ignorant people, even people with no caste. You're giving them all love of God by allowing them to serve you. Everybody except Srivas and myself. Rather than giving us a chance to serve, you serve us. Rather than giving us a chance to touch your feet, you touch our feet. Rather than giving us a chance to honor and respect you, you glorify us. Therefore, we are so unfortunate. Therefore, I have stole it from you today.
Lord Chaitanya, upon hearing that, he gave a good lesson to Advaitacharya. He went and took the feet of Advaita and put it right on his head. Advaita was squirming to get away, but he could not escape. Then he took those feet and held them for a long time right over his heart and began to glorify Advaita as his guru. So on this particular day, when Lord Chaitanya was not feeling ecstasy of love of God, he asked, "Where is it?" Advaita said, "Because you are not giving it, I have stolen it from you." Lord Chaitanya was silent. He ran, broke right through the door. The devotees were really startled. They had never seen the Lord in that state. Advaita had taken the dust from his feet. This is how he reacted. And then he ran, and Haridas Thakur and Nityananda Prabhu followed him. They saw Lord Chaitanya dive right in the Ganges and go underwater. Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas, in a panic, they ran and they dove in after him. Nityananda Prabhu grabbed the Lord's hair. Haridas Thakur grabbed his feet and they pulled him to the bank. Lord Chaitanya looked at them and said, "Why did you pull me out of the Ganges?" Nityananda Prabhu said, "Why did you dive in to take your own life?" Lord Chaitanya said, "Because I have no love for Krishna. If I had even a drop of love of Krishna, I could not live without Krishna. The fact that I'm still living means I have no love for Krishna. What is the value of this human life without love for Krishna? Why are you tormenting me in this way?" Nityananda Prabhu said, "That your own servant, he may have acted inappropriately, but he loves you as his life and soul. Why do you punish us in this way?" Lord Chaitanya said, "If you tell anyone that you have seen me, then you will never see me again." Then Lord Chaitanya went to Nandanacharya's house to hide. Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas came back to Srivasangam. The devotees were devastated. They never saw the Lord in that state. Where is Lord Chaitanya? Where is our Gaur Sundar? Nityananda and Haridas had to follow the Lord's order. "We have not seen him. We searched. We do not know where he is." All of the devotees, they feared that the Lord had left the world altogether. He had abandoned them because of their offenses. Besides themselves, their entire consciousness was in utter devastation. Meanwhile, Lord Chaitanya appeared at Nandanacharya's house, soaking wet. Nandanacharya invited him in and gave him fresh, dry clothes, offered him worship. Lord Chaitanya said, "I want to hide in your house." Nandanacharya said, "How is this possible for you to hide in my house?" And then said, "You try to hide as the super soul in everyone's heart, but still you appear age after age after age in your various incarnations. You try to hide in the ocean of milk, but even you can't hide there. So how are you going to hide in my house, in a city teeming with millions of people?" Lord Chaitanya said, "Do not tell anyone that I am here.
spent the entire night just hearing and chanting the glories of Krishna as Nandanacharya worshipped him with pure love. And next morning, the Lord knew the heart of each and every one of his devotees. He told Nandanacharya, bring Srivas here, but don't tell anyone that I am here. Srivas came. He saw Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya said, how are all the devotees, and especially how is Advaita Prabhu? Srivas said, the devotees, since the time you left, they cannot eat, they cannot sleep, they are tormented with pain from the core of their hearts. They feel that you offended them, that they offended you. They feel that you have abandoned them. They're worried that they may never see you again. They're all simply just laying on the floor, crying. And Advaitacharya, he feels that he's totally responsible for you leaving. He's fasting, just laying in the ground, weeping constantly. His heart is broken. His mind is devastated. Please save him. Lord Chaitanya went right to where Advaitacharya was. He said, Advaita Prabhu, I am here. Come, see me. Advaita was so embarrassed, so ashamed that he spoke what he felt to be so whimsical that the Lord was angry with him. All he could do was look at the Lord's feet and cry. Lord Chaitanya said that when a king has a high-posted minister, that minister will take the taxes from the people and give it to the king. And the orders of the king and the gifts of the king, he will deliver to the people. He's in such a high position. But if that minister engages in sinful activities or offends others, then the king will punish him. Why? Because he is the servant. So Advaita Prabhu, in my punishment, I have accepted you as my servant. Advaita Prabhu became ecstatic. He clapped his hands and he danced all over the room. That was all he wanted, was to be the servant of the Lord. But then again, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu honored him, worshipped him, and this was so painful to Advaita Prabhu that once and for all, he wanted to prove himself to be the servant by receiving the punishment of the Lord. Now, as devotees, we love to be praised, but we do not love to be punished. Because being punished is a demeaning position. It's a belittled position. But this was Advaitacharya's goal in life, to have this most menial position where he would be punished as a servant. But how to get that punishment? He schemed for many days and came to a conclusion by preaching impersonalism. So Advaita Prabhu left Navadvip and went back to Shantipur. Now he couldn't teach impersonal to the devotees, so he started recruiting new people. And he was preaching from the Yoga Vashishta. Actually, he regularly preached from Yoga Vashishta, which is usually one of the main books that impersonalists like to preach from. But Advaitacharya would, every single verse of the Yoga Vasishta, he would explain it to glorify the personality of Godhead in the path of bhakti. He was such a master. But on this occasion, he was preaching impersonalism with great enthusiasm. And more new people were coming and being affected by his preaching. Haridas Thakur was watching it all. And he knew the heart of his best friend. He simply laughed. He was preaching to his students that within the scriptures, gyan, or empiric philosophical speculation, is the essence and the goal. And devotional service is subsidiary, dependent on gyan. He said, it is like, devotional service is like a mirror, and speculative knowledge is like the eyes. What value is a mirror without eyes to see it?
Hare Krishna.
Therefore, I declare with all authority that the perfection of life can only be achieved through philosophical deductive knowledge. And devotional service is only subordinate to that. He was getting more and more followers. This news came to Lord Chaitanya in Navadvip. He said to Nityananda Prabhu one day, let us go to Shantipur and visit Advaita Prabhu. They walked along the bank of the Ganges. In Lalitapur, they met that tantric sannyasi. Then they jumped to the river and swam to Shantipur, came out of the river, wet. They approached the house of Advaita Prabhu. Advaita Prabhu was just giving a lecture, sitting on a raised asana. When he saw Lord Chaitanya coming, he began to preach impersonalism louder and more dynamic than ever before. Lord Chaitanya could not believe what he was hearing. He cried out, Advaita! What are you speaking? I have a question for you. Advaita was so empowered in his enthusiasm. He said, what is your question? He said, of the two, devotional service or speculative knowledge, which is superior? Advaita Prabhu, with a voice roaring like a lion, he cried out, of the two, speculative knowledge is always superior. Devotional service is always subordinate. Lord Chaitanya became so mad. He ran up to the stage in front of all the students, in front of Advaita's own wife and son. And he dragged Advaita down from the stage onto the ground, pushed him to the ground, and started beating him. Everyone was shocked. Haridas Thakur was shocked. Nityananda Prabhu was laughing. Sita, the wife of Advaita, was crying out, he's an old man, you're going to kill him. Please spare his life. He's just an old Brahmin. Don't beat him. But Lord Chaitanya did not hear a word she said. He just beat and beat and beat. And finally, he sat down and said, Nara, Advaita, what have you done? I was sleeping peacefully in the ocean of milk.
And you brought me down to this world exclusively to fulfill the mission of spreading pure devotional service. And now that I've come on your call, on your order, now you are undermining the very mission I have come for by preaching this impersonalism.
Advaitacharya was so blissful. He said, "Where is your touching my feet now? Where is your offering prayers with folded hands now? My Lord, where is it all gone?
I'm not like your Bhrigu Muni who walks around with, who has his feet prints over your chest." He said, "I am your servant, Advaita, and today you have punished me and accepted me as your servant."
Advaitacharya was dancing, crying ecstatically. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, at first he felt embarrassed, and then he glorified Advaitacharya. He said, "Anyone who wants to approach the Supreme Lord must do so by serving his devotees. Advaita Prabhu, you are so dear to me that if you give your mercy to anyone, I will deliver them. But if anybody offends you, then I have no power to deliver them." And he told the story of Durvas Muni and Ambarish Maharaj. Even the Lord cannot deliver one who offends a Vaishnava. Only through the forgiveness of that Vaishnava can the Lord deliver them. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu raised both of his arms and very loudly called out that if someone is chanting my names but is offending a Vaishnava, my very name will destroy them. Even chanting the holy names, even worshipping the Supreme Lord, cannot deliver one who offends Vaishnavas. And then he cried out, "Do not criticize others and chant the holy names of Krishna, and I promise I will deliver you." That was the Lord's message to the whole world for all times to come. Do not offend devotees. Do not criticize others, and to chant the holy name. A great lesson was revealed by the Lord in this wonderful pastime. When Lord Chaitanya left Navadvip to take sannyas, Advaita Prabhu was approached by all the Vaishnavas for shelter, because he was their leader. He said, "If the Lord has left us, I'm going to the Ganges to drown myself and take my life. And if you try to stop me, then I'll go at night when you're asleep." And all the devotees, they said to Advaita Prabhu, "We're not going to stop you. We're going with you." And they all went to the Ganges for that purpose. And when they reached the Ganges, Ganga Devi, a celestial voice spoke to Advaita Prabhu that very soon Lord Gauranga will be in your association again. Just be patient. So Advaita Prabhu transmitted that message to all the devotees and gave them both hope and life. And soon Nityananda Prabhu redirected Lord Chaitanya from Vrindavan to Shantipur, where Advaita Prabhu was waiting on the bank of the Ganges, in a boat in the Ganges, with dry cloth for the Lord. Nityananda Prabhu said to Lord Chaitanya, "We have come to Vrindavan, this is the Yamuna." When Lord Chaitanya saw Advaita in a boat, said, "Advaita Prabhu, how did you know we're in Vrindavan? How did you come to the Yamuna?" Advaita said, "This is Shantipur. This is the Ganga." Lord Chaitanya said, "Nityananda Prabhu has cheated me." Sri Advaita Prabhu said, no, he has not cheated you. According to the scriptures, the Ganga and Yamuna, they meet at Prayag. And from that point, the eastern side of the river is the Ganges and the western side is the Yamuna. And because you're bathing on the western side, you're bathing in Yamuna. And as far as Vrindavan, wherever you are, that is Vrindavan. So for many days, Lord Chaitanya met with all of his associates, Sachi Mata. They all came to Shantipur, to Advaita Bhavan, where they did Harinam Sankirtan day and night. Sachi Mata cooked all the prasad for the Lord. And on her request, Lord Chaitanya went to Jagannath Puri. And after Lord Chaitanya's South Indian tour and Vrindavan tour, the devotees were coming every year, headed by Advaita Prabhu, to Sri Jagannath Puri. And they stayed for the 4 months of Chaturmasya in the company of Lord Chaitanya, celebrating all the festivals, absorbed in hearing and chanting, like a 4-month Puniyatra. They had nothing else to do, just serving Vaishnavas, talking about Krishna, and performing Sankirtan. And every year Lord Chaitanya would greet them and then bid them farewell. Advaita Prabhu was lead dancer every year in one of the Sankirtan parties where Srivas Thakur was singing. No, I'm sorry, where Swarup Damodar. Swarup Damodar was the lead singer in his party. One time, I'm just speaking some things that are coming to my mind that have a special message. One time, Advaita Prabhu, with his wife Sita, they invited Lord Chaitanya for lunch prasad. Now, Lord Chaitanya's custom was he would bring the sannyasis and senior devotees with him. So there was a crowd of very exalted souls that would come with him to each house to take prasad. And they all wanted Lord Chaitanya's remnants. And Lord Chaitanya would not eat so much in the company of all these sannyasis and everything. So Advaita Prabhu was praying that if the Lord comes, he won't eat so much. We won't be able to serve him so nicely. And we won't get many remnants because he'll be with all these swamis and god brothers. If only he would come alone. Now, when Advaita and his wife were cooking, everyone wanted to come. But on this occasion, just at the time when everyone was supposed to leave their respective houses to come to Advaita's house, there was a torrential rainstorm where practically the whole city was at a standstill. Nobody could possibly go out. But from the Gambira, where Lord Chaitanya was staying, to Advaita's house, There was an absolutely dry path with no, the rain was coming all around it, but not in that path between the two houses. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came alone, and no one else could possibly come through that storm. So Advaita was very happy, and his wife was very happy. And they just served him more and more and more, and Lord Chaitanya was so happy, he was just eating large quantities of prasad. Every time he would, half a bowl was empty, Advaita Prabhu would fill it again and again and again, and Lord Chaitanya was eating and eating and eating so much prasad. And there was so many remnants. Finally, Lord Chaitanya washed his hands, and Advaita Prabhu started to offer a wonderful prayer to King Indra. He offered a prayer to glorify Indra, the Lord of the Rain. And Lord Chaitanya said, "Why? Why are you offering prayers in glorification of Indra?" He said, "I know why. Because you prayed to Indra for these storms so that nobody could come with me for lunch today." But actually, you are, Lord Chaitanya said to Advaita. Advaita said, "I pray to Indra. I'm glorifying Indra. I'm glorifying Indra with such enthusiasm and devotion. Because of him sending these rains, I could serve you so nicely and get so many of your remnants." Lord Chaitanya said, "It is not Indra. It is you. You have ordered me to come down to this world. As Lord Shiva, when you give your order, the entire world is destroyed. When you call, the Supreme Lord from the spiritual world has to descend to incarnate in this world. It is because you ordered Indra that he has sent these rains." And this way he was glorifying Advaitacharya as the Supreme Lord. But even the Supreme Lord wants to be the servant of Lord Chaitanya. Advaita Prabhu said, "If anyone worships me without understanding that you are my Lord, then I will abandon them." Now, in those particular times in Bengal, this was a very significant statement. Because after Advaita Prabhu and Lord Chaitanya disappeared from this world, and even during their time, three of Advaita Prabhu's sons were great devotees of Lord Chaitanya. Three of them worshipped Advaita as the Supreme Lord, but did not recognize Lord Chaitanya as his master. And because of that, Advaita rejected them. Lord Chaitanya wanted to teach that no one could come to him without serving his servants. And Advaita Prabhu wanted to teach that no one could come to him without serving his master. This was the nature of their love. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the role of a devotee, would not allow anyone to chant his glories as the Lord. He always wanted to be in the mood of a servant, except on very rare special occasions. Devotees feared worshipping the Lord as the Supreme, because he would become so angry. And Srila Prabhupada explains why. Because in this age of Kali Yuga, so many people will broadcast themselves as being God. Perhaps they're very knowledgeable or charismatic, or even they could perform some mystic miracles. And people will worship them as God,
and they will allow them to do so.
Recently, one very, very powerful acharya of a Vaishnava Sampradaya told me that he met someone who was worshipped by millions and millions of people as God, Bhagavan, Krishna. And they were together. And this Vaishnava asked this person, "Are you Krishna or are you a servant of Krishna?" Now, for common ignorant people, he can say, "I'm Krishna," and they will believe it. But such a powerful Vaishnava scholar of the scriptures, he would have been torn to pieces if he said, "I'm Krishna." So he said, "I am servant of Krishna." "Then why so many people are worshipping you as Krishna?" He said, "I don't tell them. They just do it. What can I do?" But Lord Chaitanya was not like that. If anybody, even his greatest devotees, publicly honored him as Krishna, he would become like fire. "No, I am a devotee." He would hold his ears with his hands and scream out, "Vishnu, Vishnu, Vishnu, you will completely contaminate all my devotion. You will corrupt my heart by calling me the Lord." Jivara Swarupo Krishnara Nitya Das, we are eternal servants of Krishna. Lord Chaitanya wanted to establish that Krishna is God. And a real guru is one who is a pure servant of Krishna. A real guru will never say, "I am God." But by serving such a servant of Krishna, we attain the highest perfection of love of God. That is Lord Chaitanya's message. But one day Advaita Prabhu called the devotees together in Jagannath Puri and he said, "Today, we will glorify in public on the streets very loudly Lord Chaitanya as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We will not sing the name of any other incarnation. After all, who is it that has given us everything we have? Who has given us our position, our fame, our love of God? It is all Lord Chaitanya's mercy. Today we will only chant his holy names." Devotees were fearful as anything. He said, "Do not be afraid. If you have any fear of chanting Lord Chaitanya's name as Krishna, then just chant so loudly that it drowns out your fear." And the devotees, they could not disobey Advaita Prabhu. So they started chanting. And Advaita Prabhu was dancing so ecstatically. And his dancing was stimulating their devotion so much, the kirtan was getting louder, 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 and more enthusiastic. And Advaita Prabhu himself was composing beautiful songs. How the Supreme Lord Narayan has appeared in the beautiful golden form of as the son of Mother Sachi Devi to deliver all the fallen souls through the congregational chanting of the holy names. That same Krishna who plays a flute in a threefold bending form, wearing a beautiful Vajrayanti mala with a peacock feather in his hair, has now appeared in the beautiful golden form of Lord Chaitanya to chant his own holy names, to taste the sweetness of his own love. Let the whole world chant the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Gauranga, who is the cause of all causes, the source of everything, the father and mother of all living entities. Everyone chant the holy names of Gauranga. The kirtan was so enthusiastic. The devotees were more, they became absolutely fearless. Lord Chaitanya heard this loud kirtan, so he came to join the kirtan. As he came closer and closer and closer, he began to hear what they were singing. And when Advaita Prabhu saw Lord Chaitanya standing right there, listening, he became even more enthusiastic. He was dancing so ecstatically wild, it was uncontrollable. And the devotees, they all saw Lord Chaitanya, but due to the influence of Advaita Prabhu, they were so fearless. They were filling the whole universe with the songs in glorification of Lord Chaitanya. The Lord heard, became very much embarrassed, and walked away. Went back to his room, closed the door, and laid down. But Advaita intoxicated the devotees with so much enthusiasm. He led the kirtan right to the Gambira. And there were thousands of people outside chanting, all the common people and the pilgrims, they all joined the kirtan. Govinda said to Lord Chaitanya that all the devotees are outside. They want to see you. The Lord said, bring them in. So Srivas Thakur came in. Lord Chaitanya said, what are you doing? You're a scholar of the Vedas. Why are you not chanting the names of Krishna? Why are you chanting these other names? Srivas said, we are all like puppets. The Supreme Lord is the controller of all controllers, and under his control we are all chanting your holy names today. The Lord said, Srivas, you know my position, and you know that my being the Supreme Lord is to be kept hidden. Why are you exposing it to the world? Can you explain? And Srivas said, yes. And he held his hand up toward the sun. And he said, just like this. Lord Gauranga asked, what is just like this? Waving your hand in front of the sun. He said, just like my palm cannot cover the sun. Similarly, no one, even yourself, can cover your supreme glories. And even if my palm can cover the sun from the whole world, still, no one can cover your supreme glories as the personality of Godhead, the most merciful master of all living beings. And what are you going to do now, my Lord? There's thousands and thousands and thousands of people outside all chanting your names and your glories. They were singing all glories to the son of Sachimata, who is Krishna himself, the Lord of all the universes. The beautiful cowherd boy of Gokula has appeared in Jagannath Puri in the beautiful form of a sannyasi who chants his own holy names and intoxicates the world with love of God. Lord Chaitanya said, Srivas, because of your love and your compassion, you have defeated me. The Lord is most pleased to be defeated by his devotee. Our beloved Srila Prabhupada, how dear he is to Lord Chaitanya. More than anyone else in modern history, he has established Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda in thousands and thousands of homes and hundreds of temples in every continent of the world. His Gornitai deities, devotees are coming together to sing Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasudeva Gaur Bhaktavinda. Millions of copies of Chaitanya Charitamrita are being read throughout the world. And millions of people have been touched by Lord Chaitanya's mission through the chanting of the Maha Mantra. Every year, Lord Chaitanya would send Jagadananda Pandit to Navadweep to pacify the Lord's mother, Sachi Devi. On Paramananda Puri's inspiration, Lord Chaitanya would send her so many gifts. He would send her beautiful cloths that of the day when Jagannath was dressed like a cowherd boy, garlands, tulsi leaves, and many varieties of Jagannath's Mahaprasad. And the Lord would tell Jagadananda Pandit, when you see my mother, give her this message, that I know how much she loves me. I know how every day she cooks for me. And she cries, feeling how my Nimai would be so happy to eat this. Tell her that every day, she may not see it with her eyes, but I come and I eat everything that she prepares. Tell her that she has supported me, nourished me from my birth, and I owe her my entire life. Due to madness, I went and took sannyas and left home. I should not have done that. On her order, I am living in Jagannath Puri, and for the rest of my life, to please her, I will never leave Jagannath Puri. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains that Lord Chaitanya was the supreme, most perfect son who loved his mother. In fact, he gave all credit for all his devotion to Mother Sachi. Jagadananda Pandit spent 1 month in Navadweep giving prasad and telling beautiful stories of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes to Sachi Mata and all the other devotees, especially Advaita Prabhu. And when it was time for him to return to Puri, Advaita Prabhu wrote down a very mysterious message. And said, please deliver this to Lord Chaitanya. And the message was that I offer my obeisances hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times to Lord Gaurchandra, the Lord of the universe and the Lord of my heart. Please tell Lord Chaitanya, who is acting like a madman, that he has made the whole world mad like him. And therefore, rice is no longer in demand in the marketplace. Tell Lord Chaitanya that all of us have become mad with ecstatic love of God, and we have no more any interest in this material world. And tell the Lord that this madman, who is in the ecstasy of tasting love of God, named Advaita Prabhu, is sending him this message. When Jagadananda Pranda heard that message, he laughed. Then he brought it back to Puri and read it before Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya was very quiet. and smiled and spoke just a few words. It is his order. This is his order.
Then Lord Chaitanya asked Swarup Damodar Goswami,
can you explain what this means?
Swarup Damodar Goswami said, he actually knew. He said,
I cannot comprehend it. Can you tell me what it means?
Lord Chaitanya said that Advaitacharya
is a very great exalted personality. And his worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is unprecedented. He calls the Lord to receive his worship. And when his worship to the deity is complete, he sends the deity to another place.
Actually, Swarup Damodar Goswami, I cannot understand this sonnet. Advaitacharya is very mystical and very mysterious. From that day, Lord Chaitanya, his ecstasies of separation intensified doubly. What Lord Chaitanya in essence, or what Advaita Prabhu in essence is saying, is that I have called you to this world to make everybody mad with ecstatic love of God. And you have made all of us mad with ecstatic love of God. So there's no longer a demand for rice in the marketplace.
Your mission has been fulfilled. Now you can return back to the spiritual world.
It was Advaitacharya's order that brought Lord Chaitanya to this world, and it was Advaitacharya's order that sent Lord Chaitanya out of this world. That is the power of Advaita Prabhu's love. From that day on, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so intensely immersed in the spirit of Srimati Radharani after Krishna left Vrindavan for Mathura. Practically day and night, his Antyalila was coming to a close. He was weeping and crying in the association of Swarup Damodar Goswami and Ramananda Rai, putting his arms around them, begging them to save his life by speaking the glories of Krishna and chanting his holy names. This is the gift that Lord Chaitanya came to give the world. Srila Prabhupada and our acharyas have taught that Lord Chaitanya is Krishna with the spiritual love and complexion of Srimati Radharani. He's coming to taste the sweetness of Radha's love, and he's coming to distribute that same love to everyone, to anyone. It doesn't matter if we're male or female or American or Russian or Ukrainian or African or Indian or Pakistani. Everyone is a spirit soul. Everyone is part of Krishna. Krishna's love is equal to all. He's come to give what no other incarnation has ever given. The love of Radharani and the gopis. The love of Vrindavan. And what is the price? Faith in Krishna's names.
It was Advaitacharya whose love and compassion for all of us brought Lord Chaitanya to this world to give this supreme gift. And it was Srila Prabhupada who made that gift so accessible to everyone, everywhere. And it is our good fortune that despite so many difficulties and reversals, we have the opportunity to assist in this mission of Srila Prabhupada, Advaitacharya, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda. To open the doors to Goloka Vrindavan through the chanting of the holy names. So it is on this day, which personifies such profound compassion, that in the last two consecutive years, our beloved devotees have been brought back home, back to Godhead. And when we hear how they left, and the wonderful parallels in the way they left on the same day, how could we not have complete faith in the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, in the mercy of the Panchatattva? Such wonderful incidents cannot take place by accident. And the evidence of this transcendental compassion will come to its perfection tomorrow when Jananivas Prabhu and Pankajangari join us. Just as they came the day after Advaitacharya appearance day last year, just after Stoka Krishna passed away. Thank you very much.